Movie Junkies Podcast commence.
Hey, welcome back to the Movie Junkies Podcast. I'm Dax. And what are you doing?
I'm sorry, do I still have the mask on?
Yeah, you still got the mask on.
I don't know. I watch these movies and I've been like wearing this mask ever since. It's so awesome.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Yeah. Do you wear that in public?
Oh, yeah, for like 3 days now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I bet it smells bad in there.
Yeah.
How do people respond to you with that in public?
It's mostly mixed reactions.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm sure the pickaxe doesn't help with that.
Well, you are correct.
Yeah, yes. It's kind of freaking me out a little bit, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, I don't know. I get into it. I can't help it.
Right. These are scary movies for what... To get into, to get too much into, you know.
Sometimes the scary doesn't stop. I'm taking it off now.
In fact, it's still going.
Oh, that feels better.
It looks better.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Here, let's redo that intro. Go for it.
All right. Hey, welcome back. It's the Movie Junkies Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I am Dax.
And we're here to talk about movies.
Movies.
We love movies.
Yes,
movies
we do.
Love us. Actually, I don't think the movies love us. That's okay.
I wish they loved us more, but...
It's a one-way street and we love it.
Yep. We are riding down that one-way street.
So today's a special day. I guess it's a special day. I don't know. It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You know what this episode's about because you've seen the little thumbnails and you also heard our crazy intro. So we're talking about My Bloody Valentine on Valentine's Day.
That is correct.
Because that's how we roll.
That is how we roll. That's our kind of Valentine's.
Yes, yes.
Now if you're not familiar, last week we did cover your more typical Valentine's Day movies.
Yes, and if that's what you're looking for, you're in the wrong place. Go back one episode and check it out.
Go back in time. Yeah. or just scroll down.
Yeah, it's the next one.
Yes, episode 41.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it's titled the snappy unoriginal title of Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's the best we can come up with.
Yep, that's how we roll.
Yep.
Anyway, so... But yes, today we're going to talk about something a little bit different. Now, before we dive into My Bloody Valentine, though, or My Bloody, yeah. I keep on wanting to say My Bloody Valentine's Day. I don't know why. Yeah. I keep wanting to say that.
I keep leaving my off.
Right.
And I'm just like, Bloody Valentine.
That's so weird. Both of us are going to get the title wrong the whole episode. Oh, my goodness. Well, because, you know, today we're kind of talking about a very, you might could say, unconventional Valentine's Day movie. And there's plenty of other unconventional Valentine's Day movies out there as well. And I compiled a small... I looked at a lot of different lists that people had made on the internet of, like, you know, different unconventional Valentine's Day movies, as well as just added a few that I thought were unconventional.
So, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, let's go through it.
Okay, so first one on the list is Shrek. Shrek's kind of that was one that reoccurred on several people's list that I had never really thought about.
So I guess it does have the, you know, happily ever after, you know, love story. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Kind of a fairy tale thing, but yet funny.
Yeah.
The other ones are kind of just like, they're love story movies, but they're just not, I think, the love stories that you would normally think of on a Valentine's Day. So, like, The Age of Adeline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, The Shape of Water and La La Land. A few movies like that.
And I haven't seen those two. I have seen Age of Adeline. I really like that movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie. I've seen La La Land. That's a really good movie. It's got a really sad ending, but But it's good though. And I've yet to see The Shape of Water.
Yeah, I think we had discussed Once Upon a Time doing an episode over that movie. So,
right. You know. Well, I know we were going to try it. We tried to watch it for when we talked about Pan's Labyrinth, because we were talking about Guillermo del Toro and some of his stuff, but I know that was right before Halloween, or right after Halloween, one of those. So, like, we were still in heavy in Halloween mode, and we just...
Yeah, it kind of got lost in the shuffle, I think, a little bit.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll have to cover that at some point. For sure.
Still on the list.
Wall-E was another one that came up several times on our listings. Another one that came up a lot was Edward Scissorhands.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, which I thought...
I guess it, you know.
Yeah, which I guess makes sense. That's kind of a love story, so...
Yeah.
Unconventional. One of the other ones that I saw on a list that I thought was funny was So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Now, is that the one with Mike Myers?
It is.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty funny movie, actually.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
It's got him and, what's her name? Gina Travis or something like that? Yeah. Or Travers?
Gosh, I can't remember who.
I can't remember her name. She's in that Last Man Standing show. Oh, it's going to bug me. I have to look it up now.
Yeah, it's been, you know, I watched that movie when it first came out, and this is probably early 90s, I'm guessing. And I remember it being good and funny and all that, you know, because Mike Myers, you know, he was kind of just starting, so he had that kind of, you know, of course, you know, he come from Saturday Night Live, so he's a very character-driven actor.
And, right.
You know, you can tell that in the movie, so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nancy Travis. Yeah. Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and then the one that it may have been on the list, but I came up with it. I thought of it first, is The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
That's true. There's another one that Steve Carell did, was it Date Night? Is it Date Night? Gosh.
I know he did Crazy Stupid Love, I think.
I mean, I'm going to do a little research of my own.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually amazed on how many of these, quote, unconventional Valentine's Day movies list. I was amazed how many of them featured movies that were what I thought very conventional Valentine's Day movies. You know, like several of them featured The Notebook. I was like, that's Valentine's Day movie.
I wouldn't consider that one unconventional by any stretch.
Right.
Yeah, the movie I was thinking of, it's called Date Night.
Okay.
Steve Carell, it's got Tina Fey, Mark Wahlberg. I remember it being good.
I've never seen it.
I watched it back, I don't know. I mean, it came out in 2010, so I guess we watched it about that time, I guess.
Huh.
But it was good. It was
interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's kind of one of those, like, you know, I mean, the name of the movie is Date Night. So.
Right.
So, and I think for a married couple, it probably would be a good fit for Valentine's Day.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool. As far as Valentine's Day movies go, you know, I know it is Valentine's Day right now, but I have actually not watched. Well, I take that back. So, me and Tiffany, we did go and see the Titanic re-release that they did this past weekend for Valentine's Day. And I think that's pretty much the only Valentine's Day movie we watched. but we did go and see that. And we did watch the documentary that he did on Hulu, where he talks about whether or not Jack could have lived. Which is so funny to me.
Yeah.
And I truly don't blame him at all. Because I know that has to have become like the bane of his existence.
Yeah. Well, I remember watching that movie for the first time, mm-hmm. and that was a thought.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like I can't deny that I've also had that thought. It's like, I wonder if, like, man, there sure does look like there could have been a lot of room. And he claims, and it has ever since the movie's release, he has claimed many times that, like, no, like, we researched it, they could not have both survived. and he's even been like, and even if he could, it's a better movie with him dying.
Yeah. It's like, the point is, he has to die.
Right. And he's gotten pretty, like, angry about it. And several people have tried to, like, bust the myth before, and I think he's, and with the re-release of the movie, I think he just, like, that all of that's coming up again.
Yeah.
You know, sure. And I think he just got so tired of it. He's like, that's it. That's it. That's it. I'm paying to have this finally, like, busted. Like, we are going to use the best science that money can buy and figure out whether or not he really could have lived using, like, modern science and technology. And it's actually really interesting. It's only about 45 minutes long, but it's cool because he does that one, but he also just goes back and proves proves, disproves, however you want to say it. Several other different theories about the shit, about not so much the movie, but about, like, the Titanic sinking, some of which were actually that I had never even thought about that were very interesting. Hmm. Like, for example, one that I actually thought was probably more interesting than the whole Jack and Rose thing. Was one of the things that, I guess it's not really a conspiracy, but something that you always hear when talking about Titanic, and something that's always been curious to James Cameron, like he thought of it while they were making the movie, and it's just always been a question on his mind, is you always hear about how, you know, there were half the number of lifeboats that there should have been.
Right.
And that if they had had the full number of lifeboats, they could have saved a lot more people. That was the belief. But he was talking about when they were filming the movie and they were doing all the research for the movie, because they used real lifeboats, like actual size and like real replicas and all that. And they realized that because the ship had 20 lifeboats on it, but in the time that the ship sank, which I believe was about an hour and a half, which is really quick. Like it pretty much sinks in real time in the movie. But anyways, in that hour and a half, out of the 20 lifeboats that they had, they actually only got 18 of them off the ship, which...
More lifeboats wouldn't have,
right.
Wouldn't have mattered, I guess.
Right. And that was the question, is he had always wondered, like, he didn't think that, like, well, if they had more lifeboats, you know, how much more of a difference would it have really made? They still wouldn't have had time to get more off. So they did a bunch of tests, with, like, professionally trained crews and everything, like, in real lifeboats to figure out, like, how long that it should take to lower them and all that. And they determined that it was actually a miracle that they even got 18 of them off.
Wow. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, like, they shouldn't have even got that many off with how long it takes and the panic and just, you know, just everything, all the craziness. Not to mention loading them. You know, actually loading the boats, it's like, wow, that's an insanity. But anyway, so stuff like that was interesting. And I guess back to the main thing, the Jack and Rose thing, they held no punches. They like went all in. So the stunt doubles people that were performing the test,
the stand-ins, I guess, the
stand-ins,
or the float-ins,
the unlucky volunteers, but they were like they were brought to hypothermia, like or clinical hypothermia, as they say. So, like repeatedly, it's like, oh gosh. And anyways, they had them. They were the same like height and weight as Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet at the filming of the movie. So, like, you know, like body size and everything should be the same. And they even went as far as they had them both. excuse me. They had them both perform all the actions leading up to it. You know, like the whole of them being underwater for, you know, 45 seconds or whatever. And then them doing the swimming and then him even punching the guy and her being dunked underwater. Like, they went through all of that. They had them replicate all of that before actually getting onto the door, and they re-replicated the door like exactly to size, to scale. They even used the same wood to see, like, could they have actually? And they really went all out, and you know, left no stone unturned, I should say. And the consensus, he did admit, he goes, if they had known what we know now about hypothermia and how hypothermia works, you know. Because, see, the thing that saved him, or that saved the stunt, stand-in, whatever, was when you start going into hypothermia, if you can, like, shake, you know, like, your body's constantly in motion, or, like small, jittery motion like that, It actually can help warm you up a little bit, and then it can save you. So anyways, and there's several different things like that. So he was saying, like, if Jack and Rose had known what we know today about hypothermia and modern stuff like that, he said, there's a slight chance. And it is slight. He said, there is a slight chance that he could have survived. Maybe. He said, but even then, it's unlikely. Because, they were still there for, 3 hours.
Yeah.
Before the boats came back.
Right.
So he's like, you know, even Rose, who was completely above the door, barely survived. Because, the other thing was that when they both got on the door, more of their bodies were in the water or were submerged.
Yeah, because it sunk the door down.
Right.
Further.
There's more weight on it. it was very interesting, actually. And he did say, there's also just tons of variables that, you know, there's no way that we could have known about that night. You know, none of us were there. So it's like, you know, there's stuff that nobody will ever know. And he goes, but I do think this is the closest we're ever going to get as far as an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the answer being, he said, it is, if they had known modern, how to survive hypothermia.
Had went through hypothermia training.
Right. If they had gone through hypothermia training, yeah, he goes, he might have survived. And if they had done a couple things different, he might have. He said, but even then, he said, it could have caused them both to die. But he said, it's a lot of variables. So he said, ultimately, he said, I would just go back and remake the movie and make the door way smaller. I'm like, I bet he would. But
that's funny.
Anyways, seeing the movie in 3D was cool.
Yeah. Was it noticeably different or because I know, have you seen it in 3D before?
No, see, I'd seen it in theaters before, but never in 3D.
Oh, okay. Man, yeah, I bet that was cool.
That was cool. It was, the 3D was not as good as Avatar, but I think a huge part of that is the fact that Avatar was filmed, in 2021, and Titanic was filmed in 1995.
Yeah.
You know, there's a... when it comes to movie cameras and just movie magic technology, there's a big gap in technology there.
Right.
Like a really big gap. So, so it obviously was not as good as Avatar. Plus, Avatar was shot at a higher frame rate, which I think helps a lot. Because I think the biggest thing that gets people with 3D is the motion sickness.
Yeah.
Because the way that they do those dual color layers at 24 frames per second, when you have that motion blur, when a character's moving or the camera's moving or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I think that becomes really hard for the 3D to track, and that's kind of what causes a little bit of motion sickness when watching movies in 3D sometimes. And that's why Avatar didn't have any of that, because it was all shot at a higher frame rate. So there was no motion blur.
Yeah, I mean, your eyes are not having to make up for all as much lost frames.
Right.
So, yeah, it makes sense that it just wouldn't be as good.
Right. But it was still cool, though.
Yeah, oh, I bet.
Yes, it was the best on the shots like the shots of the ship, after they set sail and Jack's Jack and Fabrizio or whatever, they're at the front and he's like, I'm the king of the world. Like that whole sequence, that was great in 3D. Yeah, that was cool. The whole thing, when the ship was coming, the back end of the ship was coming out of the water. It's like, that looked cool. But I tell you what actually was the, one of the best 3D moments, I should say, when the shots, a lot of the shots of the inside of the ship flooding, one of my favorite shots of the whole movie is the camera it's kind of zooming backwards through a hallway as water's just blasting through the hallway and knocking doors and stuff off and just, causing destruction. That was a cool shot in 3D, but the best was actually at the end. Like when that one lifeboat comes back for all the people floating in the water and the whole Jack and Rose thing. And and you know, them, I don't know, just, it looked good. It was very cool. I don't know if it had anything to do with the 3D. It may have just been because I was paying attention to it more this time. I don't know. But I noticed the cinematography way more this time. And boy, yeah, it's like really good. Like, I don't think people give that movie enough credit for like how good just like the camera work is.
Well, you know, the cinematography, and then like the 3D really shines, you know, when you have the, you know, the large shots, you know.
Oh, yeah, the big wide shots, yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just, you know, I noticed that in Avatar even. Mm-hmm. There was just, I'll never forget going to the theater, and I don't know if I told this story before, but I'll tell it again anyway. We went to see Godzilla. This is the legendary, the first one. Ah, okay. And we went to see it in the theaters, and it was 3D.
Right.
We had the glasses, and we were watching it. And we were up front, like further up front than I normally am in a theater, just because it was a sold-out show. You know, it was like opening night or whatever. And I just remember, like, you know, the 3D aspect of it was really cool.
Right.
And I remember, like, looking at the screen, and, like, Godzilla, you know, was doing his thing. You know, I was like, mm-hmm, you know, just, you know, doing what Godzilla does. And there was, like, in the movie, he was fighting with the Muto thing.
Right.
And, well, it was a wide shot, and you see both of them kind of fighting. And then to the left, there was, like, trees that were, like, forward, like closer to the camera than they were.
Right.
And I just remember looking at the tree and being like, wow, that tree looks awesome. And I'm just sitting there like admiring this tree, and there's two monsters fighting
in the background.
So I just thought that was kind of a comical funny thing. So, yeah.
I don't know what major like 3D movies that I've like movies that I really remember. I remember the first Avatar. That was a big 3D movie.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that was, like, the first time I, per se, really noticed 3D. Some other big 3D movies, or, like, movies that I remember the 3D being, like, really good in were the Transformers movies. Transformers movies have always been cool to watch in 3D.
Yeah.
Jurassic World. I only saw that first Jurassic World in 3D, but I did get to go see that in IMAX 3D. That was cool. That looked good. Trying to think of what others. I don't know. I tell you one that I wish they would release in 3D, because I think it'd be really cool, is Interstellar.
Oh yeah,
that'd be awesome.
That would be. That would be cool. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Because, man, some of those, you know, those. Like those wider shots.
Oh yeah,
of the planets and space. Gosh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Heck
yeah. Oh yeah, like especially like when they're around the black hole.
Yeah.
Or even the ocean planet.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's just.
There's a lot of good stuff in that movie that would be visually just awesome to see in 3D.
Oh yeah. Maybe one day.
Yeah, as long as they could do it right, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It's like if they could do it and get it to a level that's like it's. You know, it's close to like what Avatar was. I know, like Interstellar probably wasn't shot at 60 frames per second,
right?
But I think they can probably, you know, kind of bridge that gap a little bit.
Well, I think the computer technologies are getting better. They're being able to track more and do different things. They're learning new things. I feel like every day.
Yeah.
Well, heck, you know, we just bought tickets to go see Quantumania. Because, you know, we might possibly, maybe, sort of, might be talking about it in an upcoming episode. I'm not sure, maybe. But
That's
it's a possibility.
It's always a possibility.
There's always a possibility.
So many possibilities out
so
there.
So many. But, anyways, you know, so we were buying tickets to go see that. And we were looking at the different options. And the one we ended up going with actually was, because we're huge fans of Dolby. But, one we ended up going with was IMAX in Laser 3D.
Yeah.
And that's the whole Laser part is something that I'm seeing more and more. I've only seen it here I feel like the last 3 or 4 months. But they had that in front of Avatar. Like, you know, Avatar and Avatar Way of Water, Laser 3D.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what that means. Like, I don't know if that's a type of 3D or if that's a brand. I have no idea. And, you know, I'll be curious to do some research on that. I may try to before we go and see Quantumania.
Yeah.
But, and that may very well be a new type of 3D that helps make it look like Avatars. Because Avatars was, I mean, Avatars, I think, is what everyone has always dreamed 3D could be.
Yeah.
You know, or what everyone always wanted it to be, but it just never was. And even me, like someone who's always loved 3D, even in its more rougher days, I've always enjoyed 3D. But it's never been like Avatar or Avatar Way of Water, I should say.
You know, something I noticed, and this may be why it's better. We recently was touring a movie theater in Orlando. And we got to watch a few minutes of Avatar Way of Water that was being presented in 3D. And, you know, we didn't have glasses or anything like that. We were just kind of checking out the theater, and it was kind of
right, fun. Yeah, we were really just kind of getting a tour of the theater itself. But
yeah. But I noticed that while the movie was playing, you know, usually when you look at a screen that's in 3D without your glasses on, you know, it's a blurry mess. But this wasn't that way. Like, some of the scenes or some of the parts of the scenes were clear, and then some were blurry. So it was right. Like, it was like pinpointed blurriness.
And it depended on the shot and like what was in the shot.
Yeah.
So it almost makes me wonder if that's more of if that's like a new 3D technology.
I think that maybe that's what the laser technology is, you know,
right? Maybe like, well, I know, because I noticed that when we were standing, because we probably stood there and watched probably at least five minutes worth of the movie.
Yeah.
And standing there watching it, I noticed that like the things that were blurry, like the 3D blurry, were actually the things that were farther away. The things that were close up to the close up to the camera were like, you know, crystal clear.
Yeah. And I, you know, that just
and maybe that's what it is. Like, maybe they're pinpointing and being more precise about whatever, like taking a shot or a frame, and the only things that are in 3D are the things that are actually far away.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. It was interesting to see. I'd never noticed that before. Not that I watch a lot of movies, 3D movies, without my glasses on.
Well, right, yeah.
But it was something that was interesting, and I'm very curious about going into Ant-Man, because yeah. You know, we're seeing it in 3D.
Yeah,
and I'll be very curious to see kind of how it compares.
Right. Yeah. If it's as good as Avatar, then yeah, it's going to be. I'm real excited for that, because I mean,
yeah,
you know, that's going to be cool.
And I think if movies start coming out and are coming out with 3D that is as good as Avatar, I think we could see the return of 3D.
Yeah,
you know, especially with big movies like, I mean, the Marvel movies, even like the DC stuff coming out, like the Flash and Aquaman, and okay. Not to mention other projects like Mission Impossible, Dune Part 2. Oh
ooh.
My goodness,
ooh.
yes, now that would be a good 3D
yeah.
movie.
Oh yeah,
but so. Yeah, like I said, we might be seeing the return of 3D. I tell you something I haven't heard anything on is I have heard nobody, like on the internet or people I know, like I've heard absolutely nobody complain about Avatar's 3D. Like I've heard nobody say it made me sick or
true
or the motion yeah. or the motion sickness got to me or like I haven't heard anything from that.
Maybe they finally got it dialed in,
right?
You know, to where it's like it's good, and, you know, and it's like, because it truly was good. It was noticeably good.
It was.
I mean, I was like,
it was noticeably and unnoticeably, because it was so noticeably good that you forgot you were watching it in 3D.
Right. It felt like it was actual, like 3D. Like, yeah, like, I don't like know how to say that.
Like they filmed it in 3D.
Like, yeah. Or, right. Or like, or they were there with them on Pandora. Right. You know, it's that kind of deal. Well, I think that's always the kind of point.
Well, I think if movies can really capture that level of 3D, then that will make for a much more immersive experience.
Oh, yeah.
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 And I think we'll do a much better job of, like, with any movie, not just Avatar, and not just big blockbuster science fiction stuff either. But, I mean, like, I'll tell you one that was, or that I think would be interesting with that level of 3D applied is something a little bit more simple, like Halloween or something.
Yeah.
You know? Because
a little bit of depth.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of depth. And with you not noticing that it's 3D and it becoming more immersive, like, may make the movie scarier.
Yeah.
Because then you actually feel like you're there, maybe. I don't know. Like, I'd be really curious to see that, you know, and to experience that and see if that's any better or worse or if it's no different or what. So, well, speaking of 3D movies, the movies that we're talking about today, the second one, My Bloody Valentine, that came out in 2009, was that temporarily called My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Yeah, it was like a featured thing. Yeah. I think it's part of its success that it was a date night movie. And it was a 3D thing, and it was an early 3D movie. I mean, 2009 is pretty early for, you know, the 3D, you know, stuff.
That was pretty early for, like, them really marketing towards 3D. Of course, that was same year as Avatar and the movie 2012, and, you know, that was a big year for 3D. Of course, a lot of people forget that 3D's actually been around since the 50s.
Well, that's true, yeah. 3D is not a new thing by no means.
True. But it has gotten... It's so 3D is so weird because it comes in spurts.
Yeah.
You know, like it'll be just like 3D will be everywhere and everyone's watching everything in 3D for like 5 or 6 years. And then it just dies. And then like everyone hates 3D, nobody likes it, and like it's failed, they call it failed technology.
Yeah.
And all that BS and then nobody talks about it for about another 5 or 6 years. And then it just comes back again. And it's done that, like, pretty much very consecutively since the 50s. Like, it'll be on for a little while, then it'll be off for a little while, then it'll be back on. And so, and I think it's kind of funny and ironic that every time they call it failed technology. But,
well, I think that what they try to do, they try to sell it for home viewing. And right. I think that's where it falls apart.
Well, that was where I think it fell apart last time. Of course, again, technologies have changed a lot because back when I was buying Blu-ray 3D movies, I mean, that was 2014. I mean, you know, I bought Transformers Age of Extinction on Blu-ray 3D, and several others as well. But like that was kind of the era of all of that. Good night. 2014, that's coming up on a decade ago.
Yeah.
Wow. That just made me feel a little old.
Yeah, really.
Hard to believe that 2013 was 10 years ago. But, so anyways, you know, I think if 3D really does come back with, as far as theatrical releases go, I don't know. I mean, I think people will be a lot more apt to it.
Well, it may be one of those things that makes the theater experience, you know, that's the draw.
Right. Is it, that's, you go to see it in 3D.
Yeah, you go see it in 3D, and like, you know, that's the reason why you go to the theater.
Well, I hadn't thought about it that way. That'd be a good thing for theaters.
Yeah.
Because I was more thinking, like, I'll be curious to see if, how much of that, like, good 3D effects stuff translates over to the home video side of it. Because, see, the other thing was 10 years ago, like, if you went and bought, I said it earlier, so we'll use it as an example, the Transformers Age of Extinction.
Yeah.
The Blu-ray 3D. You went and bought it, and you wanted to watch it in 3D at home. Well, you were not getting a 3D setup for anything less than, like, $3,000 or $4,000.
Yeah.
Easy.
I think that's kind of where it falls apart a little bit,
And that's not including your sound system. That's just getting the components in order to play 3D.
Yeah.
And like for you and your family to watch it.
Because you got
to
have a specific TV.
Right.
And those, you got to have specific cables.
Right. And those TVs back then, like in the 2014 era, those TVs were like $2,000 to $3,000 easy. And I know because my aunt bought one. And then of course you had to have a special player that would play Blu-ray 3D. And, you know, then that was a minimum of $200. I mean, those got all the way up to $1,000. So those were really expensive. You had to have a special 4K cable. That was a minimum of like $70. Plus all the 3D movies were $30 a piece.
Right.
Plus the glasses were like $50 a piece.
Yeah.
So it's like, it just, it added up really quick. But that is one thing that has heavily changed with all home release stuff. I mean, I was walking through Walmart the other day, and they had a 65-inch TV on sale for like $299 or something like that. Yeah. And it was like, you know, 4K OLED smart TV, you know, all the bells and whistles, and I'm like, dang. I'm like,
yeah,
that's so nuts.
Oh, I've seen. We were at Best Buy, and they had what was it, 85-inch or 88-inch?
Oh, yeah, when we were at the Best Buy there in Florida.
Yeah, gosh, that's yeah. Like, it's huge. And I was like, wow, that's
I remember that's when they awesome. Almost didn't even make TVs that big.
No, yeah, no. 49 to 50-inch was like, you know, that was big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and that was like $500, $600.
Yeah, oh, more than that. Yeah. No, it was more like $1,500 back when it first came out.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, gosh, yeah, it was. It's just pretty crazy how that's changed.
Right. So, I don't know. You know, it may be. And then, like, will streaming 3D become a thing?
Yeah.
You know? Like
you know that data stream will be huge. For
man, I don't know.
Of course, I mean they get it on a disc. I mean, what's the difference?
Well, they get it on a disc, and I had a thought, and it just, I can see it flying away.
There it goes. Bye, thought.
Bye-bye. It really is gone. Like, I have no clue what I was going to say. Mm. Oh, well. Oh. It came back. Yes.
Welcome back, thought.
But, like, on Netflix, you know, they have the 4K stuff. And that's way bigger files. Or, like, data storage stuff than 3D is.
You know, it really irks me with the 4K thing.
What?
Like, anytime I get online and I look for, like, TV shows or movies that are in 4K.
Right.
You know, I'm looking for 4K physical home, you know, releases.
Right.
And then, like, I get the list and it's like, oh, well, you know, these are streaming in 4K. It's like, that's not what I want. I want a disc
but that
is 4K.
And some of them do that, but I don't know. I think I'd be curious to see how much, if we'll see any more of that over time. Because, I mean, Paramount doesn't, you know, like, you know, you can get the Halo show on 4K and Strange New Worlds and other shows.
If there's any good thing about Paramount, that would be it. You know, they're not shy about, you know, giving you your physical release.
True.
And
now,
you know,
to give credit though, so is HBO, you know, HBO Max, like House of the Dragon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You can go and get the entire season one on like 4K Steelbook.
That's cool. Did you ever see the miniseries Chernobyl on HBO Max?
I never. I am familiar with it, but I never saw it.
Yeah, they actually did a 4K release of that.
Really?
And I'm like, that's a pretty good miniseries too. And I'm thinking about picking that up if I can find it, because it's cool. Like, you know, that's really nice. I really like that.
Surely the studios wouldn't do that if they're not making any money from it.
Yeah, so. I'm curious to know. I see the business model for them to have stuff on their streaming service.
Yeah, like, I do get it.
Yeah.
But, well, see, my thing is, like, even if it meant, like, waiting a year or two.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a patient person.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if it meant that I would get the Lord of the Rings, or Rings of Power, I should say, if I knew that I was going to get Rings of Power on a 4K release, but I knew I had to wait until like 2025 to get season one. I like, that's fine.
Yeah.
As long as I know I'm getting it.
Yeah. I'd like to know that's coming.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, that's
like,
and if you think about it, especially with a show like that, that's going to have multiple seasons, you know, if they release season two, why not go ahead and release season one physically, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like that, they're not marketing that season.
So, you know, it's just more money. It's more money to be made.
Right.
It doesn't.
Because I mean,
people are not going to unsubscribe. You know, they're going to want to watch season two.
Well, right. Like, you know, I really want to get the Halo show I want to get season one on 4K, mainly because I want to. It was a cool show that I think would look good in 4K, and I want to support. And I want to support that. But I'm not going to get that and then go cancel my Paramount Plus subscription.
Right. Yeah, it's just, same way with me. The Strange New Worlds was announced
right
a couple of weeks ago, and it was, you know, they're doing a 4K release, which is exactly what I wanted. You know, that's I was pretty pleased with that show. And, you know, I think a 4K release would be awesome.
Right.
For that show. So I will seek that out.
Yeah.
I think Paramount does kind of jump the gun a little bit because they release the shows and then, boy, they're right. The 4K comes out like immediately almost.
Right.
And I think they're kind of missing the point of streaming service a little bit there.
Well, they're money whores.
So. Well, they are. Yeah.
This is Paramount.
But like there's no like middle ground, you know. It's either they're right up there getting it or they're not doing it at all.
Right. I'd say who really seems to have it figured out actually is HBO.
Yeah.
As far as like how the whole streaming to physical stuff should work, like they seem to have a good grip on that because it does. It's not right away, but it's not a long time either.
Right.
Because if I remember correctly, there was like several. It was a couple months, I want to say. Between like the final air date of the final episode of season one of House of the Dragon and then the 4K release, or just, you know, physical release, I should say, because they released it on like Blu-ray and all that too. But
I still think that's pretty quick though.
I'd be fine if they waited a year,
2 years, 3. The point is,
3 years is a little too long.
Well, maybe.
But 10 years later, we'll get Mandalorian on.
Well, I mean, 4K. We're still waiting for Mandalorian on Disney Plus.
I mean, you know, Mandalorian season one is probably what, 3 years old now.
It has to be, yeah.
I actually, off the top of my head, I don't know when that show came out as far as year goes. But I mean. Even if it was just a year, or even if it was a year or two or whatever, like, even if we were just now getting Mandalorian Season 1 on, like, Blu-ray 4K, I'd go buy it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I want to put it with my Star Wars set, and I want it to sit on my shelf.
Yeah. I know, it's...
Or if, like, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi released in March, right?
Yeah.
So, or like, this past March. And now we're coming up on March. So, I would be, like, 1 year later... release whenever Obi-Wan or even just whenever season two comes out, which probably won't happen even until 2024.
Yeah, I think that's a better plan. Like if they could release, you know, a 4K release with a whatever season alongside the premiere of the next season.
Right.
I think that makes sense.
Right. And yeah, that just. I hope that they're having meetings about that. Like, I hope that becomes a thing.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Maybe. Anyways, we've probably droned on long enough about things that are not about today's episode.
Yes, let's move on to My Bloody Valentine.
Yes, we're just now getting to My Bloody Valentine. We do go off on tangents sometimes.
Nah,
so.
Not us.
Oh, man. So...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, My Bloody Valentine. That's all I was going to say.
Well, me too. No. Now, we decided to do these because we kind of wanted to, you know, take the unconventional route. And right. this was an obvious choice. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, a slasher flick on Valentine's Day.
I think in terms of unconventional Valentine's Day movies, these probably hold that, you know, the royal spot.
Yeah. Now I hadn't seen these before,
so I had neither. I hadn't seen either one of them.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I've always heard of it. I it's kind of one of those movies.
I had seen the posters.
Yeah, yeah, cool looking posters, you know, and whatnot. But like, I just never, you know, it's kind of like the Christmas thing. I don't like the horror and mixed with Christmas or like, you know, like what they got, Black Christmas and
yeah,
and you know. My Bloody Christmas. Well, no, it's not right.
That's going to be a franchise. My Bloody Christmas. My Bloody Groundhog Day. My Bloody 4th of July.
Wow, that's be awesome.
My Bloody Easter. My Bloody. I can just keep going. My Bloody President's Day.
Gosh, you can get so obscure.
My Bloody Arbor Day.
My bloody Cinco de Mayo.
Now that problem, that might exist.
Yeah, it probably does. Yeah.
Oh man.
But anyway, the movie, it never really interested me.
Right.
You know, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, I'm sure that I don't really care.
I honestly knew nothing about it.
Well,
like, yeah, other than it neither. Just existed. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was happy to have this chance to really kind of have a reason to check it out.
Yeah. And I am glad that I watched them. I have some very interesting thoughts on both of them, but but I am glad that I watched them.
Yeah. The first, all right, we'll just start with the first one.
Yeah. So the first one came out in what, 1981?
1981, right? Yep.
Okay.
It's a 1 hour and 30 minute, you know, typical movie.
Yep. Typical horror movie.
It had a budget of $2.3 million, with a box office return of $5.7 million.
So,
you know,
with marketing and all that, probably barely broke even.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it did very well. That's why we, you know, it took as long as it did to get any kind of sequel to it or whatever.
Is it considered a cult classic?
It is. Yeah, it's okay. It's kind of gained that status over the years.
Following, yeah. And probably the only reason it got the remake.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's interesting. You know, it had like, all right, so when they did the first cut of the movie, the Motion Picture Association had them cut some stuff out of it. They cut like 9 minutes of it down because it was too gory.
Interesting.
Too violent, too gory. So that was kind of a...
Then came Terrifier.
Yeah, really. Like, okay, Motion Picture Association. You guys still there?
Crickets. I'm sorry, continue, yeah.
But the story is cool. You know, it's a...
Oh, yeah, it's... For me, it was very much... And I watched both of these, like, late at night.
Yeah.
You know? And, I don't know, it was just... It was that cool 80s. I tell you, it reminded me a lot of, like, Friday the 13th. You know, yeah. Like that kind of feel, that just 80s horror or 80s slasher, you know, especially early 80s, because early 80s, it wasn't too bad. It was just kind of starting to get into that like silly range. And then, of course, you know, mid to late 80s, it just goes, you know, goes nuts.
Wow. Yeah.
It goes kind of crazy. But yeah, this was 81. So it was still kind of in that phase of like, it wasn't bad, but it was like entertaining, you know, and it was right. Still, it very much has its own style. And this definitely fits that 80s slasher style.
Yeah. You can kind of tell, that they're kind of going for that same feeling, like from Halloween, like
right.
it's 78, right? The first one was a 78.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
they even copied some of the shots.
So some of the shots I've noticed and the mask breathing and all that. Mm-hmm. I think that was kind of,
you can tell they're trying to play off of some of the big ones.
Yeah, they're trying to replicate that. And you know, Friday the 13th was the same way. It was like right in there, you know, it's like, because right. That was in 1980. And, you know, this was right on the heels of that. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, why those movies...
did so well and this one didn't.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I wouldn't say that this is that much worse than those movies. I mean,
right.
Well, Halloween
the original Halloween and, like, the original... Friday the 13th and like the original, like Nightmare on Elm Street, like, yeah. Like now those are like legit really good movies.
Right.
It really wasn't until their sequels that they really started becoming known for the 80s, you know, the silly 80s slashers.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
this one kind of started off as a silly slasher.
Right.
And it just didn't grow beyond that.
Right.
In fact, we didn't get any more movies off that original run.
Right. Until... what, 28 years later?
Yeah, I mean, golly.
But, I mean, and you know, I'm not sure it really needed a sequel.
No,
I think kind of like Friday the 13th, or really any of those, I think I could have definitely seen it having a bunch of sequels.
Yeah.
and being the whole, you know, My Bloody Valentine takes Manhattan. You know, but
Harry Warden goes to town. It's like, oh my gosh.
Oh no. But like, it very much fits that. Like, yeah. I could totally see that being a thing. But yeah, I guess the first one just wasn't good enough to.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. You take like the names, you know, like Michael Myers,
right?
Jason Voorhees, Harry Warden. You know, they're
oh, it fits right in.
Two are very, you know, iconic, and one is just like, you know, heck, I couldn't have told you the guy's name.
Oh, I couldn't have.
You know, and it's just like, I don't know. It's just strange how that line was drawn. You know, the movie wasn't great, but it was
true.
Like,
yeah, it was not great by any means.
But it was, well, so, it was typical of an 80s slasher
flick. Yeah, it was typical, and it was and I was still very entertained.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, the remake's a different story. We'll get to that, but but yeah, I liked it. Like, I liked it to the point where, as that 80s slasher. That type of feel that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like, I would watch it again. The same way that I would go back and watch any of the Friday the 13th movies.
Right. It does give you that feel. And I love the small town.
Yeah.
The small mining community. I mean, it's a nice setting.
It is. For, and, like, the group of friends and them, like, picking on each other and the bad acting. And
oh, God. The bad acting.
Oh, yeah. Some of the acting is, like, really rough. It's probably the only thing that really gets me with this movie is, like, oh, there were moments where I'm like, oh, man, this is bad.
Like, you guys just had one take, right?
I love the I don't remember any of the names, but the big guy with the mustache and the glasses.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was probably my favorite part of the whole movie. He was hilarious.
Yeah,
and was the best actor, I might add. But
yeah,
he was hilarious. I don't know, it was cool. I tell you, I wasn't expecting the twist at the end.
Yeah, no, I wasn't either.
Yeah, spoilers ahead. If you haven't seen either one of these movies, they do both have twist endings. So yeah. If you don't want to be spoiled. Press pause, go watch the movies, come back and press play. If you don't care, keep listening.
Yeah, so, you know, pretty much the majority of the movie that they believe it's Harry Warden.
Right.
Who has
come back.
You know, that might have escaped or left the mental hospital, and he has come back to town, and he's on a killing spree again. Yeah, and that's funny. We mentioned the name, and it's like, you know, Harry Warden was the original killer,
right?
You know, with the flashback, they kind of tell a story at the very beginning, but really beyond that, he's not. You know, they talk about him throughout the whole movie, but like, you know, they reveal at the very end that, you know, he died 5 years ago, and it's like,
right?
You know, that he's not even the guy.
He's really just kind of the name behind the.
Yeah.
Behind the events, you know?
Yeah, and so that was interesting.
No, it was. Like, I really was not expecting, and not only was I not really expecting it to be the friend, whatever his name was, Axel. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that, but I just wasn't expecting the twist, period.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of an abrupt thing there, because they reveal him. And then, like, you know, they have the cave in, and then the guy's like, you know, his hand comes out and grabs the girl, and then he's like sawing his arm off, and I don't know, and the laugh that he did, you know,
yeah, as he runs off into the cave,
yeah, that was a whole like really just like jarring kind of thing, I'm surprised that didn't like resonate.
Well, because see, I liked that.
I did too.
I thought it was cool. Yeah,
it has kind of a Jason, you know, Friday the 13th, you know, where he comes up out of the water, he's kind of got that shock thing right there at the end.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's like, what the crap, you know, and...
And the more I thought about, like, the twist, about it being him the whole time, the more, like, I thought back to the rest of the movie, and I was like, you know, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Like, it works, because, you know, they could never find out whether or not the the guy had died, or whether or not he escaped, and
right, yeah. And they kind of lead it up. It's like, if it's going to be somebody, you would pinpoint the other friend over the one it actually was too.
Like, true, yeah.
Because he had kind of the darker personality. You mm-hmm. know, he was gone for all that time. You know, so he kind of, you know, it made sense. And then they just kind of turned it, did a 180 on that. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, yeah. I actually really liked the ending. I thought, like I said, it was probably one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the look of the killer is cool, too.
Yeah.
Like, just the whole... I mean, I know that the look is not really anything special other than just the mining uniform and him killing people with a pickaxe. But...
You know, with the headlamp and everything. I think it is cool. It's unique.
It's unique and creepy, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, there were some of the moments. Especially because, you know, the movie very much has that Halloween... kind of Halloween thing going where you don't really... You don't really see much of him until towards the end.
Yeah.
But boy, there are some shots there at the end. Like, remember when he's walking through the cave and he's busting the lights?
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, genuinely creepy. Like, there were some creepy moments in that.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's some creepy imagery there. So, like...
Yeah.
I think it had... It's... cool things. Yeah, it had its flaws for sure, but I mean, you know, real and truly, I mean, all those 80s movies like that do. Or all the 80s like slashers, you know.
Yeah, well,
yeah, a lot of them do.
I think it's kind of part of the charm. Part of the charm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's
almost like it's a style.
Yeah, it's like you go back to watch that and it's like, yeah, and it felt that way. I was like, it was really cool because I felt like I was watching a new Friday the 13th or an old 80s horror movie that, you know, it's like, man, this is cool. You know,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, you got your ridiculous, you know, teenagers, you know, and they're bad just acting and like,
oh yeah. And
you know, the old people telling the story of Harry Warden. It's just right on.
Yeah. And you got the cop who's running, who knows what's going on, who's running around and all the teenagers are horny, you know, like
they're going to have their party no matter what.
Uh-huh, they're going to have their party. And it's like, yeah, it has that style. And if the style is what you're searching for in a movie viewing experience, it fits that well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I would recommend it.
Yeah.
If you haven't taken the time to watch it and you do like 80s horror flicks, then this is very much that. And it, for sure. And it deserves to be, you know, right in there with the rest of them.
Right. Yeah. Right in there with the rest of them. I agree with that. I'll tell you, one of the best things to come out of this movie, though, is the song at the end.
Yeah.
So there's an original. So if you're not familiar, at the end of the movie, there is an original song. That the song isn't even credited. Because I was trying to find the name of the song, and you know, was watching the credits for when they credit all the songs, all the music at the end, and the song's not even credited.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
But it's called The Ballad of Harry Warden.
Yeah, and it basically tells the story of the movie. Really. Yeah.
But it's in the song that's, you know, well, it's in a ballad. Yeah. And it's actually a good song. It's like, this is actually, like, I would listen to this again. Like, this is a good song, actually.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was perfect because it almost like gave the movie a theme.
Yeah.
You know? Like if there was ever to be a sequel, I would want the movie like opening sequence to open with that song.
Yeah.
You know? And like, and that song becomes like, you hear that song and you
theme
think,
play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And it's like, it fits and it gives it like that.
Yeah.
That theme, kind of like how a lot of those other ones had. So, of course, and I guess there's, you know, hundreds of different factors that could have gone into why this movie didn't succeed, but, maybe it wasn't marketed. I'd be curious to see the marketing budget, because that has been known to to ruin good movies. Like, did you ever see Stealth with Jamie Foxx and
yeah
yeah Because like, and that's a really good movie. Like, yeah. I actually like that movie a lot. But that movie was like one of the biggest Hollywood flops for a long time. Like, they lost like $100 million. Because they spent so much money on the production of the movie, making it look so good. And the movie looks great.
Yeah.
Like, the visual effects look great, and the, you know, you got an A-list cast, and it's just like, it's a, it really is a well, the story's good, everything about it's really good, actually.
Yeah, it's got like, what, Jamie Foxx, and then
Josh Lucas, Jessica Biel, and two or three others.
Yeah.
So, it's, anyway, so yeah, it's like, it's got a good cast, but I looked up later on that the movie, like, pretty much had a, like, zero marketing budget. So, like, when it came out, nobody knew about it. Like, nobody knew about it. And it just, it flew so under the radar that nobody went and saw it.
Yeah.
And it was the lack of marketing budget that ruined it. Which really sucks, because, like, man, that really was a good movie. And I'm amazed at how many people I talk to where I'm like, hey, have you ever heard of this movie? And they're like, no, I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. The only reason I think I borrowed your copy of it and watched it like way back, you know, yeah, a million years ago. And because you were like, yeah, this movie's great. You should watch it. And I'm like, okay. And I took it and I watched it. And it was good.
Right.
But I hadn't heard of it before that.
Yeah. And maybe that I have no, like I said, I have no idea what this movie, like what My Bloody Valentine spent on their marketing back in 1981. But I mean, maybe this is why. Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I just, yeah.
Even just talking about it, I'm almost disappointed that there's not more stupid sequels, you know?
Well, you know, thinking about it, I was looking forward to a sequel, and I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah. So this is a great transition, because I had the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, though. Continue.
Yeah, no. Well, you're talking about, like, going into the new movie.
Right.
I thought the new movie was going to be a sequel.
I thought it was too,
to the original,
and I was actually pretty excited about that.
Yeah. And I didn't realize until I didn't do any research on it, because I didn't want to know. So I didn't realize until halfway through the movie. Well, it didn't take that long.
Yeah, it was about 15-20 minutes in, but
yeah, I started and I was like, okay, this is not a sequel.
Yeah, this is a flat out remake,
straight up remake. Yeah, so, which is fine. And, you
know, it was fine. I was,
at least it was that.
Yeah, I was pretty disappointed that it wasn't a sequel, because I was really looking forward to a sequel. And of course I wasn't expecting it to be quite as good, but you know, that's part of it.
Right.
And I was looking forward to seeing, like, okay, this was made in 2009, 28 years later, they're going to put that little bit of a, you know, modern flair on it.
Yeah.
Which they did, but again, I was just wanting it to be a sequel, you know, maybe have some of the old cast.
Oh yeah. So that's what I wanted. I wanted to see, like, you know, one or two.
Yeah, they didn't have, yeah. Like maybe the girl that played people. Sarah.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the main dude's name, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
But.
I say a good thought, like if I was going to do a sequel to that movie, like the original movie.
Right.
I would have done a kind of a prequel kind of thing and showed the first killing spree.
Oh, yeah.
Of Harry Warden,
mm-hmm.
or the cave-in, you know, that whole thing. That I think right. That would make a cool movie.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
And then have like the twist of them like finding him at the end, like eating,
right?
You know, the other miners.
That'd have been wild.
That'd have just been like, oh, you know.
And don't even call it My Bloody Valentine. Call it something else.
Yeah.
Like, and it'd be like one of those things like only fans will really know.
Yeah.
That it's connected. You're like, oh, you know.
Oh yeah, come
see on. That would be cool.
That just writes itself.
It does. It absolutely writes itself.
Very much at all.
Hold on, I want to go write it real quick. yeah, like man, now I want to watch that. What'd you do that for?
Yeah,
man, that would be so cool.
Yeah,
yeah, and that'd be the twist. It ends with them opening up the cave and him like you know eating everybody. It's like oh
yeah, oh man. it's good stuff right there. Anyways.
But so the 2009 remake, My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Yeah, I think the whole 3D aspect of it was probably cool in the theater when it first came out, but it really was distracting
yeah.
watching well, it without it.
Well, you can definitely tell that there were several shots that they really, or a lot of shots.
Yeah,
a lot. They really like, okay, this is, okay, guys, this is the big 3D shot.
Yeah.
You know, the pickaxe is going to fly into the camera, you know.
Yeah.
And the eyeball is going to come straight towards you, and the glass is going to crack, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
And I've noticed that a lot of the movies around that era, like right when 3D kind of really started becoming a thing, a lot of the movies do that. Like they have those like 3D shots like that. Like even Alien vs. Predator has one.
Yeah.
So it's like some of those shots do, they have that where it almost gets like kind of a warped perspective a little bit, and it, you know, something like whoo comes at you.
And that's, you know, that's been done. You know, even, you know, going back, you know, you look at you know, Friday the 13th 3D, and
oh yeah,
you know, Freddy, I think Freddy had a 3D movie, and Jaws 3D, you know, all those movies had that. And you can pick out the 3D shots.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. And this movie was just like that.
Oh, for sure.
I'd say it was, since it was such a newer movie, though, it probably was done a little better, but like, I don't know, it was still obvious. Well, and, you know, it was distracting, really.
Right.
Because it kind of slowed everything down, because you can tell they were concentrating on that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh.
And they would stick with it for a second, too.
Yeah,
and
like really go out of, right here, you know, it's like.
Yeah, and really go out of their way.
Yeah.
So, what was your opinion on the overall, like, overall opinion on the movie?
Of the second movie?
Of the second movie.
I mean, it was, I don't know. I do like Jensen. Is it Jensen? Jensen Ackles?
I don't know any of the actors or actresses.
Yeah, the main guy.
The guy that played the sheriff?
No, the other guy. The guy that come back to town.
Oh, yeah.
I do like him quite a bit.
Now, he did a good job, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
he was probably the saving grace of the movie.
Yeah. His acting performance is good. The dialogue is so terribly written. But we're going to get back. Well, okay. So, this movie, just to state this before I say my overall opinion, this movie has some good moments.
Yeah.
And it has some good things that I'm going to go talk about. You know, that I'm kind of excited to talk about. However, on a overall scale, this movie is a pile of garbage.
Okay.
Now, with that being said, at least I thought it was. And I'm sure some of that was like, oh man, this is a remake. You know, yeah. I was really wanting a sequel. But anyways, I did get over that. But there's a lot of things that I could go into as to why I think that opinion, I do want to talk about some of the good things, because there were good things, and I don't want to like leave them out, because they really were good things. And he was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He like hit him, his character, and kind of what he ended up becoming, you know.
Right.
Right. Like all of that, that was a good part of it.
Yeah.
And I enjoy, and I did still enjoy the movie. Like it was still entertaining. I'm not sure if I would go back and rewatch it.
That's just what I was thinking. I would watch the original again.
Oh, for sure.
But I'm not sure I will this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure I will either.
Yeah.
It just.
I do like him, though. He's a big. What's the show that he's. Gosh, what is that show? I watched it. I watched a little bit of it. Supernatural.
Oh.
He's him and.
That makes sense. I see. I've never really watched a lot of Supernatural, but I do know that he's in it because I've seen him like on all the posters and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And he's good. I like his acting style, and I think he played this character really well.
Yeah, he did.
And I tell you, it really did. I don't know how it was for you, but like it was not obvious where they were going with it to me.
It wasn't until the last. The last 10 minutes, the last 20 minutes right before the big reveal,
yeah,
I kind of like, okay, I think I know where this is going.
Well, you know, they kind of bounce back and forth between the sheriff and him.
Right.
And it's like, okay, it's one of them. Who is it?
Right, yeah. I kind of figured it's like, okay, it is one of them. But, and I think I did ultimately guess that it was going to be him.
Yeah.
But Just because, mainly just because I was like, from a writing perspective, that would make more sense. Yeah, that would just be a better decision. And that's the way they went, and I was happy about that.
But see, you know, that's a little different than the original movie. You know, in the original movie, right. It was the other way around.
It was
so that was the only reason I was kind of like, all right, so are they going to stay, you know, true to the original, or are they going to go, are they going to switch it up for this movie? You know, how are they going to do this? You know,
right. It's like, I will say they made a lot of changes.
Yeah, for sure.
It honestly felt like it was a remake for sure, but it wasn't like a shot-for-shot remake just with better visual effects. Like, they changed a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it was very much a very different movie.
Oh, for sure, yeah. It had a lot of, like, more of an homage to the original, or
yeah, you know, like, that kind of thing. Little things that they would do to pay homage. And,
yeah, kind of like the dryer with the
yeah, body the dryer
and,
thing.
Body in the dryer, mm-hmm. And then the suit's coming down. Yeah, that was obvious. You know.
And him busting the lights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was still cool.
Even though he didn't have the mask. Oh, I tell you, a little effect that they did do in the second movie that was really cool. Because when he's busting the lights in the second movie, he doesn't have the mask on.
Right.
Like, it's just him. And he's going through, but when he busts the light, that little boom, that little flash of light when the sparks go, when he best it's him. It's like it's him in the mask.
Yeah,
and everything. I noticed that. It's just it's for like a frame or two.
Yeah,
you know. But it's like it's as he. But like that was cool. But I tell you, the coolest part of the whole movie, and I did like this part. I was like, wow, now that's actually really cool. Is the part where the three of them are kind of at guns pointed standoff kind of thing, and he's like, you know, Harry Warden, he's right there. He's behind you. He's here with you. You know, he's here in the room. And the audience, like, you see him. But, like, the sheriff is, like he's, like, shaking his head. No. Like, he's not looking afraid. And then, like, she, like, even turns around and doesn't seem to be afraid. And he's, like, still walking. And he kind of, like, walks around Sarah.
Yeah.
Walks around her and walks up to him. And I'm, like, what? And then it hit me, like, oh, I'm like, yeah. It's him. And yeah. that was a cool way of revealing it, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I knew that it was him, but it's his figment. It's like his figment of, it's like a dual personality thing.
Right.
I mean, like he doesn't even know that it's not like he's secretly, like, you know, he's been planning this the whole time. Like it's a split personality thing.
Yeah. It's like he's just as much shocked as the rest of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, now that is actually cool. And like how he kind of like walked up and then just kind of faded away. You know, I was like, whoa. I was like, okay, now that was actually cool. Yeah. That, like, it made the rest of the trashy movie really, really worth it. But like, yeah, I was like, well, okay, that's actually really cool. Like, yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Yeah. I did like that too.
I did like that.
That was an interesting. The ending was probably, thankfully, it was a good,
yes,
it was a good ending.
It was a good ending. And I'll tell you, another part of the ending that I did actually not hate was how he walked out in the fire suit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he killed the firefighter and kind of walked out in the fire suit. You know, he walked out and then kind of took the suit off, and he had dressed up like the firefighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that was not bad. It's almost like they made a really, really trashy movie. For like, because the movie's what, an hour and 40 something minutes?
Yeah. Hour and 41 minutes. Yeah.
Hour and 41 minutes. So they made a really trashy movie for an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But then the last 20 minutes is like, whoa, okay, you actually made a really good movie the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Like, I don't know what changed or what, but like, whoever directed the last 20 minutes did a way better job. But, so it definitely had some good things for sure. The whole love triangle thing, you know,
that all that did was destroy the characters.
It did. It destroyed all four of them, really.
Yeah. I could care less about any of them.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably the biggest downfall.
Yeah.
Because you really couldn't get behind anybody because all of them were just like, you know, I don't care. I don't care about them. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much like the actions that they were doing, you know, right. It's just, I don't know. It's just the way that they presented all of it and the way that none of the other characters cared. It's just like,
Yeah, like, oh, he's doing that, is he? Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm not blind.
Yeah, it's like, come on. Have some self-respect, people. You know?
Yeah, it's like... yeah, it... Oh, and the open... Okay, so this was a... This was kind of a... It's not really a pet peeve. I guess it is a pet peeve. It just... Like, I get why they did it this way, but I just don't think it worked. is the opening of the movie. Like, the opening scene. Like, when they're in the mine and the real Harry Warden attacks them.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that happened really fast and kind of out of nowhere.
I kind of appreciated that.
Oh, yeah?
Because... When you watch a movie like this, you kind of expect it to be like, okay, well, we're going to get that slow, draggy intro, and then,
right,
and you get to build up to the final thing. Well, this movie, right off the bat, it's killing time.
Hits the ground running, and he's like slaughtering people.
Yeah. So yeah, I was kind of digging it.
Okay. I respect that part of it for sure.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is I think they could have done it better. I like what they did. I just think they could have done the way they done it. Did it could have been better.
Yeah. So they kind of tried to throw that initial killing spree and tried to show that a little bit more than like the original did. Kind of like that prequel movie that we were discussing earlier. You know, it's like this would have been that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's not. Yeah, and it's like that would be kind of like. You know, it could have been two different movies. You know,
right.
It could have easily been two movies.
Well, now something I just thought about, something that may have very, very much so very affected my viewing of the whole opening scene was that going into the opening scene, I was expecting a sequel.
Yeah.
And I was very confused. And I was like, what? What? You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
And so, like, yeah, for the whole,
same way.
The whole first 10, 15 minutes, I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, because you don't, you know, they show Harry Warden, and then it's like a year later, and he comes up, he wakes up out of his coma.
Right. Well, and the story, I think, was, you know, kind of the same, but it was more of like, I'll tell you, the thing that got me was, well, like in the movie of the 80s, you know, that story of all that happening would have taken place in like, what, the 60s?
Yeah.
Something like that. And they were driving cars that looked like they were in the, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, maybe. Something like. And I was so confused because I was like, is this supposed to be set in the 60s? And they just, like, showed the most zero attention to, like, right, to detail kind of thing. Like, because again, I'm expecting a sequel.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going in, okay, this is a sequel. And... So, yeah, that first 15 minutes, I was very confused. I was like, this is so strange. I was like, wait a minute, Tom, there's a Tom and an Axel in this part of the story? And I'm like, weren't they supposed to be like kids or something? So, yeah, I was very confused. And so that very, very much could have affected my my viewing of the opening scene.
Yeah.
Because once I figured out, like, once I kind of was like, okay, this is not a sequel. This is a remake.
Yeah.
Once I kind of got that, then, you know, my perspective of the rest of the film was better.
Yeah, I think you probably, you know, that opening scene would probably play a little differently now that you know.
Right.
Of course, I didn't know either. I think I was just kind of hoping it would be a sequel. My expectations were kind of wide.
Right.
Like, well, I don't really know. It may just be a remake. I mean, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, see, I had like... I don't know why, but I just, like, I believed, like, this is a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what this movie is. This is the sequel.
I still wish it would have been a sequel.
I wish it would have been, too. I still want that prequel we were talking about earlier. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This movie come out, of course, it came out in 2009. It did pretty well at the box office. I mean,
really?
The budget was $14
million. Mm-hmm.
And it actually pulled in just a hair over $100 million.
Wow!
And I remember when it came out, it was actually out in the theaters quite a while, and it was very very much talked about.
Huh.
And I think it was the 3D aspect. It was a good date movie, you know, that kind of thing, you know. So it was...
Probably came out around Valentine's Day. Do you have a release date on it?
I don't. I didn't write that down. I can look it up real quick, though.
I mean, I'm sure it was around Valentine's Day. Right. Look at it.
You would think.
Yeah. September 3rd.
Yeah.
What?
I kind of was thinking it would be... it seems like it come out. I'm just gonna find out real quick here.
Already?
Yeah, it come out January 16th. So it did. January 16th. It did have a whole month, and I'm pretty sure it was out that whole time.
I guess it would have been out for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I think that's probably why the box office is a little bit, you know, padded a little bit there.
Right.
But I mean. I'm more surprised that they didn't do any more. I mean, this is...
That's true.
This is...
With a profit like that, especially the way it ends.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it ended with plenty of room for a sequel.
Sure.
I'm not really complaining that there's not one, but, like, I am surprised that there isn't one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised that that wasn't greenlit. Right. Actually, I think they had one. I read somewhere that they had a sequel in mind, and it was already pitched, but... The reviews were all over the place, so the studio just lost interest and they moved on without it.
Right.
Which that doesn't seem to stop other movies. I don't understand how some go and some don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. But, and maybe they lost all the support from the producers. You know, maybe that the producers didn't like the movie. Because I know that can make a big difference.
Sure.
You know, if a movie comes out and as far as audience reviews, it gets mixed reviews. But if the producers themselves, like, if they're all about it and they love it, you know, that not saying that that's the only thing that matters, but that can go a long ways.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It's where the term passion project comes from.
Yeah.
It's like you're not, at that point, you're not really doing it for the money. They're doing it because they just want to.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's not really making the money is not the point. You know, they wanted to get it out there. I don't know. Right. I think if I was making a movie, I would just have to believe in the overall universe of it and like, you know, think that it would become something that would grow, even if it doesn't grow right away.
Right.
It may grow later. And I think that's kind of the you know, we see that a lot with movies. And that's where the franchises come from.
Right,
you know, they grow for better or for worse, but they do grow. They you know, you get more and more movies, and you know, I think that's cool. I mean, I like it when something like that happens. Of course, you know, sometimes it's you know, you're just like, please stop, please do not make another movie.
Please make this stop.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a.
Interesting though.
Interesting.
It's a. It's a cool, I mean, yeah, my, you know, this movie, it starts off kind of cool with the flashback thing and the original story. And then it just gets, I don't know. I don't even have a word for it. It's just like, it's bad, I guess.
Yeah. It just gets trashy.
Yeah. It's like, gosh, with all the. You know,
some of it gets really trashy.
Yeah, the hotel room scenes.
And the
love triangle kind of deal. That was
yeah.
It was just old hat kind of just like, oh my god, girl. Anyway, the kills were always kind of cool. You know, that was they got pretty creative. Of course, most of it was just pickaxe to the head kind of thing. But like, it was still cool. You know, it was very well done.
They were over the top.
Yeah,
and they were over the top to me, like to the point where some of them were silly.
Yeah,
and I just couldn't help but laugh.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, that was funny.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
so yeah, it's like I said, that movie, like, it's really not that great of a movie from the majority of the movie, and then boy, the last 20 minutes, it really does like. Like, the last 20 minutes is really good.
Yeah, it kind of rotates itself back around.
It does. The whole love triangle thing's kind of gone, at least for the most part.
If they would have made the sheriff a better, like,
anything?
Person, a more respectable character,
right?
I think it would have been a whole lot better. Like him trying to convince her that,
or even
you know, that you know he's no good, and then he's trying to convince her that he's, you know, both of them are doing the same thing,
right?
But you know, you can kind of get behind. Of course, I know that was done on purpose because they wanted people to kind of think that the sheriff was the killer,
right? But that's not like. I'm not going to think that the sheriff is the killer because he was cheating on his wife.
Well, true, but like it's a negative. Like if you portray him, you know, as the good sheriff,
right?
You know, it would actually probably would have been better if he was the killer. You know,
right?
Well,
I think there's just different ways that they could have. You know, like I think having the negative things on his character was probably fine, but. I think, yeah, the negative things on the character, I guess, was fine. It's just done wrong.
Yeah, I think if I was going to have negative things on the character, have it portrayed from, like, her perspective of, like her view of him kind of skewed from conversations with the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's basically convincing her that he's no good. But it's all in her head kind of thing, you know, when he's fine. And it's like,
right.
You know, and then she's like, at the end, she kind of realizes like, oh my gosh, my thoughts were like, just basically based off of what he was telling me.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, you have that whole reveal and, you know, it just kind of goes to pot and it's like,
yeah,
like that, I think that might've been a little better way to take it on.
Yeah, could be,
but it's cool though. I mean, I could take it or leave it, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. See, again, it's one of those, like, I'm not sure if I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
You know? Because even though the last 20 minutes was really cool, I'm not sure if it was cool enough for me to really sit through the whole hour and 40 minute movie again.
Now, if they did another movie, let's say they did a sequel.
Okay.
But it's a sequel to this movie.
To the second movie, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
And they just ignore the original and, like, basically Jensen comes back.
Right.
And they, you know, it's like, you know, 15 years later, 20 years later, whatever.
Right.
And they just do a sequel to this movie. I think that'd be interesting just because it's a sequel to something. But it's, right. You know, that'd probably be the only way I'd watch this again.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. I think if that was the case, you know, if next year, 2024, they released... You know, My Bloody Valentine 2, and it was a, you know, a sequel to this movie that takes place, you know, 25 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, or 15 years later, I should say. Then, yeah. I think I would watch it again for that.
Yeah, and hopefully that second movie would mature and kind of take a step up.
Right.
And get some better, you know,
storytelling.
You know, it's like...
Right. So, we'll see. Horror movie sequels can go down or go up. There's a really big one coming out here in the next month. Scream 6.
Scream 6.
Scream, yeah. Scream Takes Manhattan. I saw online, there was a dude who did like a fan poster or fan art poster for the Scream 6. And it was just like the Jason Takes Manhattan poster, but it was Ghostface Takes Manhattan. It's just so funny. It's like, because I mean, that's so absolutely
true.
What it
yeah,
is.
So true.
Of course, I hope it's good.
It does look good.
I will admit that the trailer does make it look interesting for sure.
So a little side note for the audience. I watched the first three Scream movies, you know, as they come out back in the day, and really enjoyed them. You know, they're good movies. You know,
right.
It's more of a murder mystery more than a scary movie to me.
Yeah, me as well. I think that's one of the reasons I like them so much.
Yeah.
Because I'm a sucker for whodunits.
Oh, for sure. And you know, really, the My Bloody Valentine kind of hit that a little bit.
It did. Of course, it was a surprise hit for that.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I haven't seen any of the newer Screams, after the third one. I watched the third one in the theaters, and that was my last... Scream experience.
Right. Wow. Now, did you know that was 23 years ago?
Oh, golly.
Because the third one came out in 2000.
That's just wrong.
Sorry, man.
I'm going to cry in a corner now.
I understand.
Not that it was like a bad experience. It's just I just never got back on the screen train
again. Right. Well, I mean, to be fair, it was like, it was 11 years between Scream 3 and 4, and then it was another 11 years between Scream 4 and 5.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That is like, kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there is a big gap in between both of those. Now I guess there was, the gap between Scream 4 and 5 was a little less, because right after Scream 4, you had the TV shows era. So you had the two Scream, or you had the first Scream show that they just called Scream, the TV series, which was the same concept, but had nothing to do with the movies, mainly because I found out they could not get the rights, they couldn't get the licensing rights to the mask. Because Paramount or no production company actually owns the Ghostface mask. Or like I think it's some sort of costume company that still owns the rights to that.
Yeah, I bet they're holding on to that sucker.
Oh, I bet they are too. Yeah, and if I were them, I would too.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they were not able to acquire the rights for the TV show. So the mask is a little bit different. And
I bet it boiled down to like the TV show didn't have the amount of money needed.
That's very possible.
Yeah.
But even that aside, so instead of trying to just make it about connect with the movies but with a different mask, they just made it a completely different story. I do think it takes place in the same universe, you know, but it is a different story. You know, different town, different characters, different everything. But the style is the same. And so they did that show for 2 seasons. It was meant to be 3, but the final season got canceled due to actually the everything changing hands as far as the studios go. Everything changed hands to a different studio, and then the new studio just wanted to go a different direction. And the direction they went was they made a whole new show, yet they still called it season 3. But it was a whole new show called Scream Resurrection. And now they did get the licensing rights to the mask. Mm. So it has like the official Ghostface mask in it. However, it was god awful. Like, that's some of the biggest garbage I've ever watched in my life. So we'll have to talk all about it. But anyway, so like, and all of that took place in like a 3-year time span right after Scream 4. So I guess you kind of had that to fill the gap, but it really wasn't much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the first 2 seasons didn't have anything to do with the movies, other than the title. And then the third season, or the little mini series, however you want to classify it, what everybody thought was such hot garbage that, you know, it just kind of died. And it sat just, you know, vacant for a long time until Spyglass bought it, I think in 2019. So, and then here we are. So,
well, I've got a lot of catching up to do for sure. Cause
yeah,
I want to watch basically everything leading up to 6, which comes out in about a month. So
a little over a month. Yeah.
We're going to have to, I'm going to have to get it in gear if I'm going to.
Well, I've got all of that stuff on Blu-ray. So
yeah,
I'll let you borrow it.
It's weird. I don't know what it is. You think I would be like, you know, that would be part of my collection, but like, right. I have nothing for Scream.
Really?
I don't own a movie.
You even own the first one?
No, I got nothing.
What?
Yeah. Dang. So strange. Because I'm a big, like, Wes Craven fan.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and I remember liking the movies quite a bit.
Oh, the first one is like, one of the best horror movies ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good. It's a really good, like, just well-done movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I get it, though. I mean, it's going to be one of those.
That'll be an exciting thing to talk about. So
it's kind of a weird time of the year, though. I don't know. Has Scream always released about this time of year?
I think it's always been random. Because, like, Scream 5 released in January, and I think Scream 4 released around Halloween. And I couldn't tell you with the original 3. I don't know. I just know with the years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know it's never been like a, you know, March is Scream month kind of thing, you know.
Right. Well, you know, course, you know, I don't really associate it with Halloween. I think
I don't either.
That's my biggest thing, I guess, why I don't have it in my little collection, because I don't think of it as a Halloween movie.
Right.
So I guess that's probably good enough reason to, you know, not care when you watch it. I mean, you watch it whenever. You know, so.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Well, I think that kind of does it for today's episode.
Yep. I think
today's Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah. It's kind of Valentine's Day.
Yep. Well, anyways, happy Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Go watch you some My Bloody Valentine.
And some Scream.
And some Scream.
Because those are Valentine's Day movies.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. Valentine's Day. Well, for all of y'all listening on the big day of Valentine's Day, if you're going out into the world, stay safe and all those things. And
yep.
Thank you for listening. Watch some good movies. Watch whatever movie you want to watch for Valentine's Day. What is the movie you watch for Valentine's Day? Is it a chick flick? Is it a horror movie? Do you even care about Valentine's Day? We'd like to know.
Yeah, watch a movie. And then let us know what you watch, because we'd love to know. I know we talked about watching a movie, but I'm not sure what we've settled on. So I'll reveal
Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I'll reveal that.
Yeah, I don't know if we're actually going to watch them like on the day or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, you know, we're just too busy. You know?
Well, right. Yeah.
In the middle of the week, it's hard to watch mm-hmm. a movie like that.
Yeah.
Especially like together, like with your spouse or.
Well, like, and both of us are going to be working, so I'm like, I'm not even sure if I'm going to see her on the big day.
Yeah.
So, oh well, we'll see. Anyways, so.
All right, everybody. Thank you for checking us out.
Yep. Make sure and share it with all your friends. Anyone who likes movies and likes to talk about movies, make sure and share it with them. And
yeah, there's a lot of people out there. Even if you suspect that people like to talk about movies, you know, share it with them, because they may not want to talk about it with people they don't know would talk about that.
And if you understood any of that, let us know.
If you understood that, then you're my people.
You are his people. MovieJunkiesPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Anyways, yep. That does it for today. Thanks for tuning in. Share, like, subscribe, all those things. Comment, leave a 5-star review. It really helps us out a lot. If you'd like to fund the Movie Junkies, just click the link in our bio and follow us on social. And if you'd like to reach out to us and just and ask us a question or give us a suggestion or even just to talk about movies.
Yeah.
MovieJunkiesPodcast@gmail.com or through any of the social platforms. We'd love to hear from you. So, alrighty. That's all. I think I covered all the things. Did I miss anything?
Nah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
This has been the Movie Junkies podcast with Dax and Steven. New episodes are available every week on all major podcast streaming platforms. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date on new episodes and all other podcast news. If you would like to help fund the Movie Junkies podcast, just click the link in our bio. Feel free to contact the Movie Junkies at MovieJunkiesPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
Wow, you're still here. The episode's over. Play the next one.
Or maybe start over, you know, in case you're just waking up.
Yeah, that works too. Do one of those.
Yeah.
Do it now.